Thank you, Dad. Thank you to each of you for being here today. Thank you to Gary. Everyone's lucky that I don't have the talent that Gary has, that I can't play and sing like him, because I would just be up here the whole sermon. Read a scripture, strum. Just beautiful. So appreciative to him today. This is not a Mother's Day sermon. So if you came here today expecting that, I'm going to disappoint you. But to make up for it, I do want to say to each of the mothers here, happy Mother's Day. I want to say to all the aunties who step in as mom from time to time, happy Mother's Day. To the grandmas, to the glamas, to Gigi and Meemaw and Granny and Bibi and Yaya, happy Mother's Day to each of you also. You're a blessing. But I think it's a sermon that the moms and grandmas will appreciate, because it's for their babies. It's for, not anymore for Melissa's baby boy. It's for those younger. It's for my baby boy and for your little girl and the younger people here. So while I'm trying to speak to them specifically, it still applies to all of us in our 30s, 40s, 60s, 80s. If you're here, it applies to you also. But I specifically wanted this sermon to be for my kids. I wanted it to be for your kids, for all the young men and women here, because I was thinking about you, I was praying about you, and when I was preparing this sermon, when I was receiving inspiration, I was thinking about each one of you. I really was. You know, when I was younger, I wanted sermons directed to me. I wanted to know that the minister had considered me at 15 and 18 and however old I was when he was preparing that sermon. And our brothers, D.A. and Cody, had a survey, and they showed the results. And I don't know if everyone's seen that, but they were interesting and, you know, very clear that our younger people want to hear sermons directed to them and that apply to them. So that's what I have for you today. I've got a lot of talking before I get to scripture, so bear with me. I was thinking about when I was younger and thinking about sermons that I heard and my reaction to them, and I remember many times, and I have to preface this by saying, you know, as an adult, you get a bigger perspective and a greater understanding of, when you're younger, you don't necessarily hear and see things how they really were. You filter them through the ears and through the eyes of a teenager. So take this with a grain of salt. But it felt like many sermons were negative. And I don't want anyone to get offended. I've benefited so much from the ministers in this church and the ministry and their gifts and their sermons. But a lot of times as a young person, they felt negative. And like I said, maybe it was my filter, but it seemed like I was being told so often about how terrible everything is, how awful the world has gotten, and evil was everywhere, nowhere was safe, and like I said, maybe that's just how it felt to me, but when I would hear that, I would also feel a sense of guilt if I didn't agree, if I didn't necessarily agree that everything was terrible, that I didn't feel like the world was scary. So that feeling of pessimism was discouraging to me. It wasn't, and I'm just saying, there were times where it felt that way. It wasn't always that way. So I wanted to say to my kids, to your kids, as you are looking forward to the rest of your life, you have a lot of reasons to be optimistic. You have a lot of reasons to be glad and grateful for living in this day and age. Believe it or not, the world is safer than it's ever been. It's the safest time in world history to ever be alive. So you get the safety of living in this day and age. It may not feel that way sometimes, but it truly is. You have greater access to information and education than anyone has ever had in history. If there's something you want to know about, at the, you know, the tips of your fingers, it's there. You can look it up. You can educate yourself. You can be grateful that you're still young and you have yet to hit your peak. I think about that way too much, wondering if I've already hit my peak, if I'm on the downward trajectory now. I like to think that I'm in the sweet spot. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I still have enough energy, enough physical ability to do most of everything I want, but I have enough wisdom to know most of the time what I should and shouldn't do. But you're still young and you're still full of energy and life and expectation, and your future has so many possibilities. So many incredible possibilities and so much potential. So I want to tell you that. I want you to be reminded of that. When I think of those sermons and the way that I felt when I heard them, if they felt negative to me, one of the reasons that it was bothersome, because I felt like at times I was supposed to be afraid. I felt like part of the message, intended or not, was that maybe I should be afraid and that I should feel fear. And maybe I didn't understand that the right way at the time, but when I was remembering this and thinking about those sermons, it reminded me of when I was in fourth grade. I went to a private Christian school, and we would have chapel every week, and from time to time they would have guest speakers. They would have a traveling missionary come, and they would speak to the student body. And in fourth grade, there was one of these missionaries, and he was talking about himself, talking about life, and, you know, got onto the world as it was in 1990. Isn't it funny how when you think 1990, you think, well, that was like 15 years ago. No, that was 32 years ago. So 32 years ago, when I was a fourth grader, I was 10 years old, we had this guest speaker, and he was talking about the world and the dangers of it, and he got onto the topic of war and why he was talking about war with a bunch of elementary-aged kids. I'll never understand. But he made a comment, and I still remember it clear as day. He said, you know, at any time, another country could drop a nuclear bomb right down your chimney. And I'll tell you, that hit home, because we have a chimney at my house growing up. And so that visual was very real, was very visceral. And I remember laying in bed for weeks after that, thinking that a bomb was actually going to drop down my chimney at any point in time. And I could see the look of terror on other kids' faces when he said this. And he finished speaking, and immediately after he was done with his sermon, they had their altar call, where they invited the young people to come up and give their life to Christ. And I remember sitting there and thinking, and it just didn't sit right with me. It felt wrong. It felt, I didn't know the word at the time, but it felt like manipulation. So as I think about my kids and I think about the young adults here, I don't want to preach fear. I don't want fear to be a message that you get from me. I don't want you to be afraid of the world. I don't want you to be afraid to interact, to go out and experience life. I don't want you to feel that way. I don't want to preach that message. I want you to be aware of the dangers, that evil exists, that there is sin to experience and to choose in this life, but I don't want you to be afraid. You have reasons to be hopeful. Because at some point in your life, you learn that that bomb isn't dropping down your chimney, that not everyone is a threat, and so that fear goes away. And what's left to motivate you when the fear is gone? What is your motivation for belief? What is your motivation for faith and for obedience? What's your motivation for action, for doing something in your life? Something great. Something has to be greater than fear. I put this slide up because I want my kids, I want your kids, I want everyone here. If you haven't downloaded this app, you should download this app. It's wonderful. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to, because we have church camp coming up, so, and I know we can't have our phones, but you can have this for conference, you can have this for church services, Even if you don't bring your scriptures, download this app. You can find the Bible and the Book of Mormon and all the scriptures on it. So if you haven't done that, take a minute. Download it right now. It's wonderful. Back to the greater motivation. Now, motivation has to be love. That is God's motivation. And his motivation is love because he understands that you alone are a completely unique creation. There is no one else in this world that is just like you. And I, at 42, will still find myself, and I know you've probably done this too, getting so angry with myself and so frustrated when I do the same things, and I frustrate myself and I say, why am I the way that I am? I wish that I wasn't this way. Well, I'm this way because God made me this way. I look this way because God made me this way. When he was forming the heavens and the earth and all the trees and all the animals, he was thinking of you. He had you in mind at that time. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee. Now, he's speaking to Jeremiah here. Not all of us are going to be prophets. But he knew you. Before you were even born, before you set foot on this earth, God knew who you were, and he loved you. We've had 2 years of lockdowns and disruptions and a lot of turmoil, and I try to imagine what that's like from the age of a 15-year-old, to have basically two years of your life just thrown in disarray. And what a huge portion of your life that is. Now, it's easier for me to have perspective, you know, halfway through my life. But for a young person, I know it had to be incredibly difficult. I know that mental health took a big hit during this time. There's increases in anxiety and depression and just sadness. Sadness for loss of activities and events, of not being around our families, not being around the people that we love. It's already difficult enough as a teenager to get through those years. It's easy to be unhappy with what you see and the hand that you've been dealt. But I want you to remember that God loves you for who you are. He created you to be who you are. My dad one time gave a sermon, and no offense, Dad, but I've never really thought that he was a Cary Grant type or a George Clooney type. Uniquely handsome, we'll say it that way. But it's easy to be really negative about yourself when you're a young person. And my dad said once in a sermon, he said how God had created his particular body for his soul. That God matched his body for his particular soul. And that's always stuck with me. I want you to know that. I want you to know as you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, oh, I hate how big my nose is. In seventh grade, a girl told me my nose was big, and I sat like this for the rest of the school year. But God created your body and your personality and who you are to match your soul. So don't be too critical, because he had you in mind. He had a perfect plan in mind for you. He decided that your body was matched to your soul here on earth. And there's a verse that talks about this. That when I want to make the scriptures real, I want them to say something to you. And this thought is here in Romans, in the 9th chapter, in the 20th verse. He says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you to question God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And I'll tell you what, I would love to be 6'2". I would love to be 6'2" and have skills. At 12, I was sure I was going to play in the NBA. And then at about 14, I just stopped getting taller. And those dreams went away real quick. But I know that God had a reason for it. So instead of questioning God about why he's made you the way that you are, be grateful. Be grateful for the way he's made you, for the gifts that he's given you, for the skills and talents that you have. Another way to look at it, in for someone with younger life experience, maybe you haven't experienced this, but the older people understand this. You notice how when you get to know someone better, they naturally just become more attractive, right? You appreciate them more. You appreciate what's on the inside and on the outside more. You see parts of their beauty as you get to know them that you hadn't noticed before. You know, I can vouch for this personally with my wife. You know, when I was 18 and I started dating her, I would never have thought that at our age I would think that she is more beautiful than she was then. That's where I get my brownie points in for today. I can promise you, that's what I think today. My kids are gagging now, so sorry, kids. But as you get to know someone, they become more beautiful to you, inside and out. And so it's no surprise that the one who knows you greater than anyone else finds the most beauty in you, loves you the most. For all the imperfections and flaws, he loves you and sees more beauty in you than anyone ever will. And he did not make a mistake. So don't ever let Satan convince you otherwise. God did not make a mistake when he made you. C.S. Lewis said one time, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So I want to say to the young people, however young you are, if you hear me, you are not too young to be praying for your future. You're not too young to be calling on the name of our Heavenly Father every day. Asking him for guidance, asking him for wisdom. How do the scriptures become real? How do you make these two books become real in your life? How do you apply them? This is how you apply them. This is how you start at your age. Start exercising that trust. You start understanding that maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I need the Lord to guide me. And it says, in all thy ways. What does he mean by that? What does he mean in all your ways? I don't know what I just did. Let's see here. Bear with me for a second. Well, it just disappeared on me. So I'm going to be without my slides, apparently. Let's see. Give me a second here. See if my phone will hook up to it. Okay. Well, so much for that. Okay. You're not too young to be calling on the name of the Lord. And how do you acknowledge him? When it says there in Proverbs, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." When you have success, when you have a big victory in your life, remember to give God thanks. Remember to praise him. When you need to make a big decision, pray for guidance. Ask him for wisdom. Lean upon him. Acknowledge that you don't know. When you feel yourself getting angry, pray for patience. When you're scared, call on His name. Make God a part of your daily life. Include Him in your activity and decisions, and He's going to be there for you. God created who you are, and He created all the possibilities of what you can be. And we in our lives, me as a young person, I was so sure of what I was going to do. And then I would find a door closed. And I thought that life had just closed that, but it turns out God had actually closed that door. Because He was leading me in another direction. And He's going to do the same for you. He has seen your potential. He's created you with all that potential, and He wants you to succeed. He wants you to excel. He wants you to use all the gifts and all the talents He's given you. And when you do, when you start to recognize that, He wants you to glorify Him. I'm going to read out of Isaiah. In the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, if you have your app handy, since I don't have it pulling up right here, starting with the 7th verse, it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." You know why you were created? You know why you are the way you are? And that is to bring glory to God's name. All the talents and all the gifts that He's given you are to honor Him. In the book of Alma, the 14th chapter, the 96th verse, there's Alma talking about being used by the Lord. He says, "Yea, we have been made instruments in His hands of doing this great and marvelous work. Therefore, let us glory. Yea, we will glory in the Lord. Yea, we will rejoice, for our joy is full. Yea, we will praise our God forever." You'll have moments in your life where things happen and you realize that you had so little to do with it. The success that you had was completely God Himself. And you will be able to say these words. We've been made instruments in His hands of doing His great and marvelous work. And you'll feel what it's like to glory in God, to praise Him. I was going to hold up a picture of one of the commentators under the Royals games. Who knows who Rex Hudler is? You know who Rex is? Yeah. So Rex Hudler calls the baseball games for the Royals. Professional baseball player for over 20 years. He's a goofball. He's fun to listen to. But I was listening to him give a talk one time. And he's very upfront and very vocal about his faith in the Lord. And he was talking about his success in life. And he said, "I love baseball and I had talent, but everyone at a certain level has talent." He said, "The difference was I was faithful to the Lord and He blessed the desires of my heart." And that stuck with me. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the desires of your heart. I want you to think about laying those desires before your God. Putting them before Him. Being faithful to Him. And letting Him prove Himself to you. Because God wants to prove Himself to you. He does. He's ready. If you will call on Him and you will pray and lay your desires before Him and put your faith in them, He will bless the desires of your heart. And the things that you thought were the most precious to you, that is the way that I'm going to be happy. That is the only thing that's going to make me happy. You will find a way to steer those desires of your heart to something new, something even better, something you hadn't even pictured before. I'm going to read out of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. In the 6th verse, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." He's going to reward you for your faith. He will. It's a promise. God does not break His promises. Will you be a professional baseball player? Probably not. Is Gary going to be playing Carnegie or, you know, the big venues? No. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to stand here and he's going to bless us with his gifts. God is going to bless others with your gifts if you allow him. If you put your faith and your trust in him. I had another slide, and I have slides with quotes, and I'm just going to have to try to remember them. The world is going to try to convince you that everything that you see and who you are is just happenstance. But I'm here to tell you that it's not. That you are not an accident. You are a living, breathing soul created by God Almighty. There is more to you than flesh and blood. There is something deeper. There's something deeper inside of you. Something that will continue when you die. You are a living soul. And that soul continues from this life. And it passes over into the next world that we can't see. And that's the part of you that's damaged when you sin. There's physical pain, there's physical suffering when we sin, but that pales in comparison to the damage that happens deeper. The damage that separates you from the one that created you, the one that's calling you out from the world, that's calling you through the paths of your life. God's whole plan is based on redeeming you from that sin. Everything that he has done was to redeem you from that sin. So that he can be with you forever. He wants nothing more than to be with you forever. In John 3:3, I want to read out of the book of John, in the third chapter. A man came to Jesus. And he asked him a question. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's that kingdom of God that's waiting for us after this life is over. Christ said we cannot see it. We cannot be a part of it unless we're born again. Do you have any question of what that means? Young people, do you have any question about what it means to be born again? It means that you need to repent and you need to be baptized. If you're old enough to understand sin and forgiveness, if you're old enough to recognize that you make your own choices, that you have free will, if you're old enough to have a witness to God, to know that he is, that he's real, that his son died for you, if you have a desire to live not for yourself, but for God and his glory, if you have a desire to have the desires of your heart be blessed, to succeed in this life, to have joy in your life, if you want the Spirit of God to be with you, to teach you all things, then you need to be baptized. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to ask God to be a part of you. Of your daily life, to live within you, to guide you, direct you. If you wait until you think you're ready, you'll never be ready, right? I never thought I was ready, but at some point I realized I need him. So if you come to understand in your life that you need God, then you need to be baptized. You need to ask for baptism. Because God has already chosen you. If you're waiting for a sign that for God to show you that you're ready, he's already given you those signs. He's already let you know. He's already chosen you. When he was forming you, before you were in the womb, he chose you. He chose you to be his. I want you to know there is nothing that you can do to make him regret the blessings he's given you. There's no sin that you can be a part of that will make God regret choosing you. Choose to regret the blessings that he's given you, to regret the blessings he's going to continue to give you. He only asks for your heart. I'm sorry for the slide snafu there. It's my message to the younger people today that God is real. God is calling you out from the world. God wants to be a part of your life. He wants to guide and direct you, but he wants you to come to him. And if you do, you will be blessed.